Discipleship, empowerment, and accountability. We're going to teach you God's word. We're going to bring God's word to you, amen. And then we're going to walk with you through it. We're going to put you in positions of power and allow God to use you and for you to grow your gift. And then after that, we're going to hold you accountable because we work in the space of accountability. We know and we realize today is Mother's Day, and we want to acknowledge each and every mother under the sound of our voice. Whether you gave birth to a child, whether you adopt a child, or you took care of a child, you know whether or not you consider yourself to be a mother. And if you are a mother, we are grateful for you on today. I want to give honor to the mothers of the Safe House Church in this order. First, I want to say happy Mother's Day to our First Lady, Felicia Ealing. Amen. I'm just so grateful to my wife giving birth to me two beautiful children, and I'm just so grateful for and that I do life with. I also want to give honor to my mother-in-law, Sister Rosie Lowe, here that lives here in the home with us. Amen. And thank God for her. I also want to give honor to Lady Jordan, Shauna Jordan. We're just so grateful to have you. Those two beautiful children, God, the three children God has blessed you all with. It's just been a tremendous blessing, I know, and I know you are, and Brother Alex wouldn't know what to do without you. Also, I want to bless Sister Harden, Sister Carolyn Harden, our dear sister and mother here at the Safe House Church. We want to bless you this morning and say happy Mother's Day to you. Also, I want to say happy Mother's Day to Paris Perry, and I think this is her truly first one. I think her baby was born right after Mother's Day last year. It's something about those May babies here at the Safe House, but nonetheless, she now definitely qualifies. And happy, always qualified in my book, but happy Mother's Day to Paris Perry. Amen. We want to also say happy Mother's Day to Frances Williams. Amen. One of our newer members here at the Safe House Church. We appreciate you. And, you know, her son, Jared, who's about to be a high school graduate. And we're just so grateful what God has done there for them. We want to also say happy Mother's Day to Sister Pam Hicks. Amen. One of the mothers of our church has two extraordinary sons, tall boys, big strong boys that God has blessed her with, and we're just so grateful to have her here as part of this ministry, doing a tremendous job with our women's ministry, amen, and we're just so grateful to her. Also want to say a happy Mother's Day to Sister Lee. Sister Lee, you know, like I said, you don't have to birth children for you to have children, amen, and the work that you do with those children each and every day, and those stepchildren of yours, we honor you on today. Also, keep going. Like I said, my list is long. This is how much God has blessed the Safe House Church just over the last year. Amen. We have Sister Webb all the way down in Tyler, Texas. Yes, we have members in Texas. And God has just been good to us in that space. And we're just so grateful. All the way down in Tyler, Texas, the mother John Jordan and brother Donovan. Amen. We bless you this morning, Sister Sherelle Webb. And God honor you for being a mother. Also on my list, also want to give honor to Sister Belinda Pounds, one of the members here at Safe House Church. We honor you on this morning in our Mother's Day program. And also we have one of our newer mothers here at the church. She's not a new mother, but she's a newer mother to our church, Sister Jennifer Fulton. Amen. We would like to bless you, and she's had, you know, a baby this particular year, and God has just been blessing that. Brother Izzy, you know, We call him, his name is Ezra, but we call him Izzy for short. And God has just been blessing Brother Izzy. Izzy is breathing on his own, amen, and looking forward to him coming home real, real soon. So you all continue to keep them in prayer as God continues to open up doors, and he's bringing Brother Izzy home very, very soon, amen. And then last but not least, you all, we got a special announcement. We have a new lady, a woman of God, who has just joined your ranks as of 6:30 last night. And, you know, and I just thank the world of this couple. I mean, I remember Brother John and Sister Paris, you know, brought them in. First, it was her now husband. And then that was her boyfriend, her fiance, I guess, and brought them in. And now you have this young couple, some of the first single people there in our church. And they stuck with us. Amen. And I remember Brother Jerry and I having some deep conversations. And next thing I know, they pop up and then got married on me. And then they come and tell me that they are with child. And now Sister Taylor has joined the ranks of a mother, amen, gave birth to a beautiful, beautiful baby boy just last night at 6:30. A beautiful, beautiful baby boy. Let me see if I can get a chance to pull it up here. Oh, y'all, look at there. Isn't he handsome? Good job, Taylor. Good job. I know Brother Jared somewhere smiling from ear to ear. Y'all know it don't take much for Brother Jared to be smiling, but I know he is smiling. Mr. Bryson made his debut on last night, 6:30. Amen. I think from the information I have here that he was 7 pounds and 9.5 ounces and 20 inches long. So we just look forward. I know I got some babies to christen. My list is starting to pile up. But, you know, that's a good list, and that's a list I'm proud of. Amen. That God has just blessed them, and he's blessed them tremendously in this space. Amen. And I'm just grateful to God for blessing them. I think I got another picture there. Yeah, there he is. Y'all know the little warming hat. I always call it the baker's hat. But just so grateful that God has blessed, tremendously blessed them, that gave her a good pregnancy in the middle of COVID. I mean, and that's something to praise God for. On this Mother's Day, that God blessed her through COVID, not to be able to catch COVID, you know, there were people around her, relatives, but God kept her through all of that and kept her through delivery on just yesterday. So we celebrate you, Sister Taylor, and welcome to motherhood. Amen. And God bless you all and love you all. Also here at the Safe House Church, y'all know y'all pastor. You know, they tell me I give away the church if y'all let me. Amen. I just, you know, but I believe in giving. You know, it's better to give than it is to receive. And for today, for every lady, there's a every mother here at the Safe House Church, we have a little something for you. Let me see if I can find my thing here. But, you know, Pastor, you got this stuff all twisted up here today. But y'all know this little place called Amazon. Yeah, Amazon. We're going to just give y'all the hookup with a $25 gift card. So every woman, make sure I sent out a text late on last night, and I apologize for the late text. But if you Safe House, and you all know my number, if you're a member, you know you're a member. Hey, ladies of the Safe House Church who are members, I'm sorry, I can't offer this to everybody. I would love to give everybody, every woman or every mother a gift card. But if you're, you know, but the Bible says, but charity starts at home. And we definitely should do our best to try to take care of our mothers there at the Safe House Church. So mothers of the Safe House Church, please send Pastor your email. So he can send you, you'll get an electronic gift card from us for $25. My only request is this, that you do not spend it on anybody but you. I know mothers, you know, I get my wife something and she sees something and she'll see this for the kids and she'll get this for the children and I get it. But I'm giving you permission to be selfish today. Are y'all with me? If the church hear me say amen, type in amen if you're with me. I'm giving you permission, be selfish today. Go to Amazon. They got everything from A to Z. That's what the little thing, the little smile symbol under that means, from A to Z, right? They have, from my understanding, A to Z. Go get yourself something nice, something that you want. I know we cannot pay you for everything that you do and the sacrifices that you all make, but I want you to be able to have that and be able to use that for however you see fit. My only request is, and this is from the Brothers of the Safe House Church, is that you spend it on yourself. Got that, ladies? Only on you. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Y'all know it's good to have fun in the church. Amen. It's good to be able to give back. I'm just so grateful that we are in a place as a church that we're able to do such things. Amen. I know sometimes there are other places that desire to do things, but God has blessed us to be good steward of our resources. Amen. And been able to bless us, and we made some good decisions, and sometimes, you know, made some poor ones. But God has just opened up doors for us here at the Safe House Church, and we're just so grateful to all the members of the Safe House Church. All our ladies, again, Pastor cannot say enough, Happy Mother's Day, Happy Mother's Day. And I hope that you all enjoy that. And like I said, get you something for yourself. Do not spend nothing on your children or your husband or your home. Get something that you can just say, this is mine, and I'm going to be selfish with it. You got permission from me today. That's the only time, but you got it today. Amen. How many of you know it's good to have fun? God has just been so good to us here at the Safe House Church. It's just been an amazing week. I personally have had my share of ups and downs this week, both professionally, both personally. It's just been, you know, kind of all over the place. And we find that many of us are in these places. Amen. But you know what? We don't stop. We got to keep going. We got to keep pushing. We got to keep fighting. Why? Because there's something else. There's something that God is taking us through. There's something that he's pulling us through. What? To help us be better for that which he set us up on and set us up for. And I believe that there is a word from the Lord on today to share with you on today in regards to Mother's Day. So it's not my intention to keep you all. You all know God bless, you know, I don't know about you, but it's a blessing to see people in the household of faith do well in the so-called world system. And I'm just blessed because I lead by example that God blessed me, that from the my gifts and talents that he's given me. You all know teaching is what I do. You know what I'm saying? I think I preach okay, but I know teaching is really my bread and butter. That's my skill. That's my skill set. That's my gift. And sometimes I don't even have to work hard at it. And because of that, God blessed me to be recognized, and I led as the chief marshal of our graduation yesterday. We graduated four different classes, amen. We had four different graduations yesterday, and I participated in them. We graduated both 2001 classes from two different colleges, and then the 2020 class from both colleges, which totaled out to be four. And God allowed me to lead that. You know, it's different. You know, it's just a blessing when you ever see, you know, God's man just being able to lead that, and God just being able to pull us that. And God would say, what? Your gifting will make room for you. I'm trying to inspire somebody right now that, hey, you've been thinking about giving up. You've been thinking about, Lord, why am I doing this? But I'm here to tell you that your gifting makes room for you. I was sitting in room with legislators yesterday. I was in room with most powerful people. I'm nothing but a lonely professor, so to speak. But the most powerful people in the institution, some of the most powerful people in the whole state of North Carolina, there I was in the room. Amen. You know, I'm reminded of Daniel, how God made sure Daniel was where? He was in the room. Mm-hmm. That God made sure that what? Joseph, he was in the room. And I'm telling you that the Safe House Church, we are just a place that we groom leaders. Amen. And leaders, and you're taught how to be in the room. That's why you got to be in discipleship. So you'll know what to do when you get there. I'm already preaching. Amen. Empowerment. Why? So you can use those gifts and talents so that when time comes, you already know what to do because you've already been doing it. And then accountability. Why? Because you cannot just be using your gifts and talents for any and everything. There's some specific things that God has set aside for you that he wants you to use those gifts and talents for. Amen. So this is what we do here, what, at the Safe House Church. So I'm here to tell you all today, you all, your gift is making room for you. It's still been making room for you. And God has been pruning you. I mean, he's pruned me a lot this week. And I ain't gonna lie, I ain't gonna see and tell y'all some things didn't hurt. He's pruned me a lot. You know, my name has been all over the internet for this and that. But as I say, I've learned real quickly, just stick to the facts and stick to policy. And you're going to be all right. Stick to the facts and stick to policy. Well, what is that for the believer? Simply this. Stick to what God said in his word, and his Bible is what? The policy manual. If you want to keep yourself out of trouble, no matter what they say about you, no matter what they put you in, no matter what they try to do to you, stick to the policy manual, which is the word of God. See, I learned real quickly in the work that I do is, you know, when things get tight, when things get tough, all you got to do is what? Go to the manual. And if you stick to the manual, if you stick to the policy, then what? They are obligated to defend you. Oh, come on. I'm giving somebody some wisdom points right now. That they are obligated to defend you. Why? Because this is their policy. And if you follow policy, then that means what? This is how we have pre-decided. Come on, somebody. This is how we pre-decided we're going to deal with this situation. And then what happens is when a situation comes up that you haven't pre-decided for, what you do is you make the best decision that you can make based off the evidence and the data that you have. Uh-huh. And then after that, you make a policy. Then after that, they make a policy. Are y'all with me? So now from that point going forward, this is how I deal with this. But see, my Bible tells me that what we often say there's nothing new under the sun. So therefore, what every situation, every circumstance, everything that I find myself in, I know that I can read in my Bible. Oh, come on, somebody. That I can read in my Bible that way, and God has taught me how to deal with it. He's taught me how to deal with it. He's given me some kind of reference. He's given me some kind of guidance, some kind of clue of, look, this is how you deal with this situation. So when you find yourself in trouble, go to the policy manual. When you find yourself in a place or a situation, I beg you to go to the policy manual. When you find yourself in some kind of thing, what did the manual, what does policy say about the situation? Oh, that right there is going to bless somebody. It's going to keep somebody in trouble, out of trouble, and it's going to keep somebody employed. Go to the policy manual. What did God say about it? See, sometimes we get caught up in, you know, and get your feelings hurt, and I've got mine hurt, and I realized it was because what? I strayed from the manual. That God has a way. He said, what? Your ways are not my ways. Your thoughts are not my thoughts. You know, they're from the far as from the east is from the west. That, well, promotion doesn't come from the east, the south, or north, or the west, but promotion comes from God. So when I put you there, No man can do it. Amen. And so, you know, yesterday I saw, you know, I was there. I don't know if many of you all might know the late Matt Timberlake. He was a big time preacher in North Carolina. He died about 20 years ago. Amen. And his widow is still carrying that ministry, one of the first mega ministries in North Carolina. Amen. And I had the pleasure to sit down, and I actually, you know, knew her in my younger years, but I had the pleasure to just sit down there and really catch up with her on yesterday. Amen. And she reached out and told the Safe House Church, if we need anything, you call on Christian Faith Center. Oh, come on, somebody. How many of you know that God will open up some doors for you? Just when you're about to throw in the towel, when you try to figure out, Lord, what are we going to do? That God, what he has, God is still in the working business. So Christian Faith Center there in Creedmoor, North Carolina, a major shout out from the Safe House Church here in Greensboro, North Carolina. We love you all and appreciate the work that Pastor Brenda Timberlake is doing there and that incredible body of people there in Creedmoor, North Carolina. So we're just so grateful. Amen. For what God is doing. All right. So without that, I'm not going to hold this up anymore. I don't think we have any other announcements or anything like that. We've said Happy Mother's Day, Happy Mother's Day. And again, Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers of the Safe House Church. But if you're ready for the word, type in the chat box, ready for the word. If you're ready for the words, type in the chat box, ready for the word. I need you all a little bit more engaged. I know some of you just walking around. You might be cleaning up. You might be vacuuming. You might be exercising. But those are not. I want you to put in the chat box. Text box, ready for the word. On Facebook, on Instagram, wherever you may be, putting out ready for the word. I mean, I see people that, you know, they have all these comments about everything else, but when it's time for the word, we want to go to sleep. Amen. I believe, God, there is a word from the Lord on today. Well, if you would be so kind to turn with me to, let me see if I can find my verses pop up here. Amen. Like I said, I'm all discombobulated up here today. Amen. We're ready for the word. Ready for the word. Amen. Ready for the word. There we go. Ready for the word. I know that sometimes there is a delay in how these things come across. You know, Zoom, you all are right in. Well, I want to go to 1 Kings 3 and 16. I'm going to read a little bit, and then we'll go in and get this word. And then y'all can go take your mothers and go wine and dine them. Well, I don't know about the wine part, but you can go dine them. Amen. And treat them really, really well. Hope you treat them well every day. But today is extra well, nonetheless, amen. As we, I'm pulling this up for those who may not have their Bibles with you. Remember, you need to get your Bible. Your Bible is what? It's your policy manual. How do you know what you can and can't do? You gotta be in the policy. Got to be in the policy. All right, 1 Kings, through our third chapter, verse 16. So what is the book of Kings? And remember, the book of Kings often talks about what? The kings and the things they do. And in particular, in this particular section here today, we are focusing in on King, what's his name? King Solomon. King Solomon. How do we find Solomon? Solomon is the birth of the child of King David. And we know Solomon was one of the ones. How did Solomon get here? Well, Solomon got here by way of what? His mother, Bathsheba. We know the whole story of Bathsheba, David and Bathsheba, and how that whole thing you know, came about and how they all came together. Wait, gosh, good morning, brother Chester. Glad to see you. Hope mom is hanging in there, brother. We're praying for you. So now the whole thing with, you know, we have Solomon here. So remember, Bible tells us that Solomon is what? One of the richest men that he's going to be the richest man to ever live. And he's also what? One of the wisest. And I often pray, and you all know, when we pray on the in the mornings that we pray that we ask God, give us the wisdom of Solomon. Because I believe we have the wisdom of Solomon and we know how to apply the wisdom of Solomon, that we find ourselves in a place that we'll be much better off than we have been previously. Amen. Because sometimes you and I, we don't know what to do. We get on our emotions and we make these emotional decisions and wonder how we got ourselves in things and why things don't, you know, go the way that we desire them to go and why we find stuff doing this and doing that. So I ask, with all this wisdom, that we get understanding. So here we find that we have a story of two women here. Two women. These two women, ironically enough, are both mothers. So on this Mother's Day, typically when we talk about this story, typically when this story is read, people are talking about the great wisdom of Solomon. And this verse definitely lends itself to that. But I also know the Bible, I like to call the Bible the ever-living word, amen. It's the never-ending story that the Bible, no matter what you read, no matter what you say, is that what? There's always something else that God is giving you in there. There's always something that this is why we can keep what referring to this, and this thing continues to what to reach our need even on today. So let's go to 1 Kings 3 and 16, and it says this. Then came there two women. Now remember, when you're a king, you are also a judge. This is why having a king is important. This is why we know God, what he is, the great judge. So you have kings, and you see in the Bible, you have with the book of what, First and Second Judges. So these people who was in First and Second Judges are what? These are people who are appointed to be judges, like the judge Deborah. Amen. So when they're appointed to be judges, what they do is they are to rule the things in the land, just like we have today. We have things that happen, we have things that go on. And what we do is when we get to a point that we cannot settle our dispute, we go to a judge, and whatever the judge says is final. Amen. So the same thing is going on in this time. So they have appointed judges, people who basically sit up there and they make the rules and the laws, and they use their wisdom to determine what is the right thing to do. Now, when you become a king, you become a judge. The king is actually the judge. What? The king is the ultimate authority. So think about the king. When your case makes it before the king, it's like you went to what? To Supreme Court. Because what? When the Supreme Court, we believe in the Supreme Court in our land, is that when it gets to Supreme Court, no matter what the decision is, whether you like it or not, it is final. Whether you like the decision or not, it is final. It is law. It is done. It is finished. Well, it's the same thing with the king. So when the king here makes his decision, it is final, it is done, it is finished. He's the supreme of king. This is why we serve Jesus what, as our king. He said that I came to be what? King of kings. So that means what? Their judgments, his judgment supersedes their judgment. How about you? How many of you out there are glad that his judgment supersedes their judgment? I don't know about you, but you know, sometimes men can err, amen. I was seeing some cases where people were wrongly accused and wrongly things have happened to them, and they spend time in prison for things that they didn't do because of the error of people. But when we serve a godly judge, when we have a judge who sits high, looks low, and he knows all and sees all, that he can what, rightfully divide the word of God and judge you and I. This is why you often hear people say, what, nobody can judge me but God, when that's not necessarily true. You can be judged. It's just that the Bible says this. It says it in Matthew. It says that don't be judged. He said, don't you judge. Yes, you be judged. Meaning simply this, that the same way you judge an individual, you can expect to be judged that way yourself. Oh, come on, somebody. Meaning that you're going to be held to the same standard as the other. All right? That you will be held to the same standard as the other one. So just believe that you can judge. This is why we have judges here in our land. So I wanted to set you some background before we get into this story. So this is why these two women are here. It says, then these, they're two women that were what? Heartless. Heartless being what? Heartless are prostitutes, whores. So these are what? Women of the night. They need justice too. Do you not know, remember that God, what? He's died for all of us. He's died for all of us. So just because you may not be doing exactly what you're supposed to be doing doesn't mean that you should just get served injustices. Are y'all with me? So these women are heartless. So first thing, they're being heartless. That's significant. That's important. Why? Because if they're heartless, then that means typically they don't have husbands. Oh, come on, somebody. So one of the things that here with them not having husbands, meaning that what? They do not have protection. Why? Because your husband is your protection. We see families where, you know, their children and the mothers do their very best. I know some are going to be out there today, you know, I'm the mama and the dad. No, the truth of the matter is you're only the mama. You can't be the dad. It's not your place. It's not your position. You didn't get the seat. You just can't do it. It's impossible. Yes, you can step into place and you can do what you can. And you do a great job. I'm not here to beat or badger anybody. But let's stop saying that, because you are never going to be the boss. Because there's some things that the father brings to the table that you just can't deal, you can't bring with, and you just do not have the capacity to give. So by being in your role, do what you can. So here we find what? These two women, harlots. The meaning they don't have husbands. And they're both what? Pregnant. And now they find themselves what? Going before the king. They going before the king. The king is going to hear their case. And watch this case. And then what? And so we go to verse 17 and it says this. And the one woman said, now this is that one woman, she's pleading her case before the king. Says, oh, my Lord, Lord being lowercase here. Remember, when we see capital case, Lord is spilled into who? Jesus Christ. But you notice lowercase here. Why they call him Lord? Because he's king. And if he's king, that means what? He owns everything. Remember that. I want y'all to always make these connections so that you'll be able to what? Teach somebody else. Says, oh, my Lord, I am this woman, dwell in one house. So they say, oh, basically they're dwelling in one house. They live in a whole house. Mm-hmm. And I was what? I was delivered of a child with her in the house. Basically, he said, okay, look, I had my baby in the same house with her. We were both there. I had a baby in that house. Now watch this. And it came to pass the third day after that I was delivered, so 3 days after her baby was delivered, that this woman was delivered also. So here now you have two women who are having babies within 3 days of each other. I think the significance of three here is important. Why? Because, you know, we know Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. God works in threes. Somebody slapped somebody upside on the side of the shoulder and said, you know, God works in threes. He works in threes. He works in threes. And then he says this, that this woman was delivered also. And we were what? Together. So imagine, if you will, you know, I think Sister Taylor is still there in the hospital. She just delivered on last night. So she may be there. And there may be some woman right down the hall that delivered right around the same time she delivered. So we know this to be commonplace. Amen. And it said that they delivered together. There was what? No stranger with us in the house. No stranger in the house. Say we two in the house. What she's saying is what? It was nobody here but us. I know you. This speaks to familiarity. Them being what? Familiar. How many of you know sometimes when you're familiar with people, some strange things happen? Familiar with people, some strange things happen. All right? Then it goes on and says this, and the woman's child died in the night because she overlaid it. Let me break this down to you. What happens here is what? This woman is sleeping. I think about it to the times when my wife had our children and she was breastfeeding and we put our children in the bed with us. Amen. One of them, I'm fighting them to get out of my bed right now. Y'all pray for a brother. Amen. He's almost there. Can't get him to stay in here though. Amen. All right. Y'all get out of pastor business. But nonetheless, the baby's in the bed with her. You know, while we did that time, you know, my mother was able to just take the baby. I mean, my wife was able to take the baby and just put the baby on her so she can breastfeed the baby in the sleep so she wouldn't have to get out of the bed, et cetera, et cetera. Mothers, you all know what I'm talking about, all right? So the baby's laying there. And what this woman does is, I guess she was in a heavy sleep. She rolled on top of her baby. She basically smothered her baby to death. So now, watch this. Let's keep it up. Now, we have two babies being born 3 days apart. One of them has had their baby, and she had a baby, and somehow in the night, she rolled on top of her baby and killed it. Her baby's now dead. Unintentionally, it seems, but it's nonetheless, the baby's no longer here. Watch this. Let's keep going. And the Bible says this, and she arose at midnight and took my son from beside me, while their handmaid slept and laid in her bosom and laid her dead baby child in my bosom. Ooh, treacherous. So the Bible says this, that this lady, while she was asleep, got up, took her dead baby in the, watch this. How many of y'all know sometimes bad things happen at midnight? Now, we're reminded in the Bible that it was in midnight that Paul and Silas prayed. Why were they praying? Because some bad things happen at midnight. Why do the bad things happen at midnight, Pastor? Glad you asked. Why? Because there's a changing. Anytime there's change, there's trouble. Did y'all catch that? Anytime there's change, there is trouble. Doesn't mean that change is bad. Doesn't mean that change is poor. In fact, change is good. But why is there trouble? Because when you're changing from one thing that was old to the new, that requires a shift. And in that shifting, that means you're breaking that old mindset. Come on, are y'all with me this morning? You're breaking an old mindset that has to be what? Crumbled to be moved. Therefore, what? Change is violent. Think about it. Change can be violent. Why? Because it's an abrupt change. It's an abrupt move. It's not on that same trajectory it was. So here at midnight, there was a change. Her baby was dead. The Bible says she goes over and she swaps baby with the girl who had a good baby. Her baby was alive. And then what? Put him in his bosom. Do you not know, brothers and sisters, if you're not careful, people will take your joy and swap it for their poison. Oh, that's a word. Come on, I'm already preaching to you right now. That they would take their joy, your joy, and leave you with their poison. How many of you have ever been around somebody that you could just be, you was fine and you were just having a good time and you was having a good, you was in a good place and it was a what? A familiar person. See, this is the thing that's so subtle about it. It's somebody you know. It's somebody you familiar with. Oh, they wouldn't do that to me. Oh, they wouldn't, she wouldn't do that to me. They're familiar. Why? So, because you're familiar with it. You let your guard down. Woo! Y'all let me get this thing this morning. Because you are familiar, you let your guard down. If this lady was in a room with someone who what she did not know, I guarantee you that baby would have been taken care of a little differently. But sometimes, brothers and sisters, we get familiar with people. We get familiar with things and places and situations. And when we become familiar, we let our guard down. Some of you have let your guard down at home. Some of you have let your guard down on the job. Some of you let your guard down with family members. Oh, this ain't gonna be. And that's all the devil needs is just a little bit to start what? Separate. And next thing you know, you wonder, how did I get here? Pastor, how did I end up here? I'm gonna tell you how you end up. It started with what? Them being familiar. And because they were familiar, you allowed them to say things they shouldn't have been able to say. You allow them to give you thoughts that they shouldn't have been able to give. What they were doing was trading your baby for a dead baby. They didn't kill theirs and they're trying to take yours. Come on, mothers. Come on. But how many of you know that a mother knows? A mother knows. That's the title of my message today is A Mother Knows. I'm already getting into this, so I had to go ahead and give it to you. A mother knows. So then the Bible says here, what now? She switched babies with her. She traded her good baby, her live baby, her a well baby for her own. Mm-hmm. The dead baby, the dream that was dead, the situation that was dead, the one that they self-sabotaged. Because what? She was familiar with her, so she didn't think she would do that. She was familiar with her, so she didn't think, oh, certainly she's not going to do that kind of thing to me because she knows me. My girl ain't going to do me like that. Watch this. Then the Bible goes on and says this. Then it says in 21, and when I rose that morning to give my child suck, suck meaning what? Put it in breastfed. Behold, it was dead. But when I considered it in the morning, so I rose in the morning. Then I considered it in the morning, giving thought, meditation, said, behold, it was not my child, which I did bear. See, some of us, when we walk in this thing and we stop and we think about it, how many of us been chasing babies? Some of us been chasing dreams and thoughts and admirations. And when we really get there in the morning, the Bible said, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. And when that joy has come and you stop and you look things over and you start to contemplate a little bit and you start to meditate, how many of you know you're praying? The Bible says, seek him early. And when you're seeking him early and you stop and you look at this, I'm trying to carry somebody else's baby. This is not my baby. I know I'm speaking to a lot of you on today because this thing is going not just from the physical baby, but some of you are carrying this baby of this dream that you had, and you're starting to realize and wonder that that dream that you had is not your dream at all. It was somebody who switched babies with you. Oh, come on, somebody, if I'm not going to preach this thing today. Somebody switched babies with you who was familiar with you, and they did it under the cloak of night when things were changing for you, and you didn't realize it, but now they're giving you the dead baby. And you're wondering why you're feeling down. You're wondering why you're feeling lonely. You're wondering why you feel such and such a way. It's because somebody's traded babies with you in midnight and you didn't realize because you let familiarity get you. But how many of you know that a mother knows? You know when something's of your loin. You know when it's your, you can just smell your baby and know something's not right about it. Why? Because this is not who I am. This is not what God has called me to be. This is not in my DNA. It doesn't smell like me. It doesn't taste like me. It doesn't move like me. It doesn't talk like me. Because it's not Jehovah Jireh. It's not their provider. It's not Jehovah Nisi. It's not speaking things to life and putting things to death. I know it's not my baby. Oh, come on, somebody. How many know it's not your baby? Put it in the chat right now. It's not my baby. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Yes, yes, Lord. Speak it, Lord. So then the Bible goes on and it says this. And it says, and the other woman said, now remind you, they still before King Saul. They're here and they're having discussion before King Saul. Nay, but the living son is mine. It's my son. That baby's my baby. That's what I prayed for. That's what I fed. That's what I fasted over. That's mine. And she's trying to take it for what? A dead son. She killed hers. How many of you know some people around you that you're familiar with have killed their own dreams? They sabotaged their own life. Mm-hmm. They've done dumb things. They've made some poor decisions. And yet they want to make you feel a certain way because you made some good ones. The devil is a lie. And he's the father of it. Because they made poor decisions. Now you should feel guilty because you and your husband, your family, y'all sacrifice. Don't give away your baby. Am I preaching to somebody today? Am I reaching a mother today? Stop giving away your baby because you all made some good decisions. Their poor decisions are not yours. Give them back their dead baby. And stop switching babies. It's not yours. You cannot give suck to something that's dead. And you're wondering why it ain't moving. Because it ain't yours. Would you virtually high-five somebody and say, give them back their dead baby? Hallelujah. All right, so then he goes on and says this. Says, and then the other woman, watch this. Now, this is what they do. Because they're familiar with you. They know what gets you on. They know what turns you on. They know what gets you off in a flutter. They know how to get you emotional jacked up. What do? They sit there and they argue, knowing very well that this does not belong to them. They think in the funk, as we used to call it. And the Bible says this, and this said, no. And on verse 22, but the dead is thou, son. It's her baby. And the son that is living is my son. Thus they spake before the king. So now they put this argument before the king. They put this argument before the king. Hey, king, that's not my baby. The other lady, nope, that's not my baby. And this is well before we had DNA. See, today, this will be an easy case, right? Because what, we just take a swab of the baby, take a swab of this one, take a swab of that one, and next thing we know, give us about 48 hours now, I think. And some of them quicker in some cases. Yeah, we know who the dad is too. Right? But this is way before that. So now we're in a place, how do you know who the baby is? Who is the mother? So then the Bible says this in verse 23. This is where it's about, 24. This is where it's about to get tight. This is where, sometimes, you got to say, God, I'm in this situation. I'm in this place. I'm in this circumstance. And I don't know what to do. Lord, I got lackadaisical. Someone came in and stole my baby. They stole my dream. They stole my admiration. They took that thing from me. And you know what? It was my fault. Look at somebody and tell them, hey, it was my fault. How many of you know sometimes you just got to admit when you're wrong? Some of us, we got lackadaisical. God told us to do some things, and we're like, okay, I got it, God. He told us to fast and pray about it before we did it. Oh, yeah, I got it, God. Before we made the decision, he told us to think twice before we did that. Okay, yeah, I got you, God. And now somebody's doing the okey-doke on you. You got a dead baby. And the Bible says this. And he said in verse 20, where we are now, 24. And the king said, bring me a sword. And they brought a sword before the king. We know in the Bible sword, here they're talking about the physical metal sword, the cutting device. Sometimes you got to cut some things. How many of you know the Bible reminds us that the tongue is a two-edged sword? It can give life and it can give death. That we also refer to the Bible, the word of God, that policy manual, as our sword. Could we use that sword to do what? To fight off the wards of the enemy. The sword is important here. Because the sword, what? The sword helps to do one thing and one thing only. It helps to serve judgment. When I think about it, when you think about when you use the sword of your mouth, when you're talking to somebody, do you not know you can serve judgment upon the individual? This is why I believe God used the foolishness. They said use the foolishness of what? Preaching. Why? Because in this, he can what? You can serve judgment. This is why he said both life and death is what? In the power of the tongue. I can speak life to you and raise you up, but at the same time, kill that which needs to be killed. Or in some cases, not to be killed. Some of us have talked ourselves out of our baby. We told them about how great our baby was. We told them about how God was going to do with us with our baby. We had that Joseph situation. We were just so excited, and we thought everybody else was just so excited for us. And you did it out of ignorance because you were just so happy to have your baby because you've been waiting for so long to have your baby. And now in the cloak of night, when you were resting, when you were thinking, I finally got mine, they got theirs, and it's all good. Nope. They're waiting in the bushes. They're waiting for you to lay it down and to pick it up. Brothers and sisters, we can't be laying things down. Why? Because there's always somebody who wants what you want. And they may not have the capacity to have it. So therefore what? Since they can't have it themselves, or they destroyed it themselves, or they messed it up themselves, they want yours. Make no mistake about it. I know some people would trade lives with me in a minute. And I'm not saying my life is perfect. I got some issues. I got some things that I struggle with. I got some things that I do. But they see mine and they think this is all bells and whistles and glory, right? And they look at your life and they say the same thing. If I could just trade places with Sister Taylor. Taylor, there's somebody who want to trade places with you because there's somebody who desires to have a kid who can't have one. Not that your life is grand. Not that your life is perfect. There's some woman who desires to have a husband. You have one. I'm just using you for example. I know she doesn't mind because she just had that beautiful baby boy last night. She has a husband. He's not perfect, but she has one. There's somebody who desires to have a husband. And she has a beautiful son now. And there's somebody who desires to have a husband and a beautiful son. They just want a man, period. There's some who just want to have a baby, period. And sometimes, brothers and sisters and mothers, we have a tendency to take for granted those things that God has blessed us with. Because we have our eyes on other things. And because we have our eyes on other things, sometimes the thief comes to the Bible says he comes to what? To kill, steal, and destroy. And while we got our eyes on something else, we don't realize the blessing that God has given us right here in our own home. The blessing that he's right here in our feet. The blessing and the gifts and the talents and the anointing that he's put right there before you. Are y'all with me? Am I resonating with somebody this morning? Or am I just talking to myself? So I want to remind you that a mother knows. You know. You know. I don't have to tell you. You know. But I just need to remind you that you know. So then the Bible goes on and it says this. So he brings the sword. The sword is what? To execute judgment. And he says this. And the king said, divide the living child in two. What are you saying, Peter? And give one half to the one and the other half to the other. So he told him, take this baby, literally take this baby, and cut this baby right down the middle. Do you not know? Whew, hear my anointing. Some people will kill your dream because their dream is dead. Yes, we have this saying that what? Misery loves company. If they're miserable and their life, you know, for back left for better word, I know my wife is going to get me later, but if their life suck because of choices and things that they've made, they want yours to suck too. Everybody's not your cheerleader, and trust me, y'all, pastor's learning this the hard way because this is tough for him because I love people. I want to see everybody win. But I am finding out more and more every day. Just because I want to see everybody win, that means that everybody want to see me win. And I like to think, you know, sometimes just being naive, sometimes as a believer, that, you know, since I'm going to see everybody else win, that everybody else feels the same way about me winning. And the truth of the matter is, that's not true. They want to trade babies with you. They want to give you their dead baby that they've killed, that they've spoiled, they wasted their bodies, they didn't drink their bodies up, they didn't smoke their bodies up, and now they mad. So now they want to have yours. Because you didn't make those decisions. I'm here to tell you that fight for your baby. Stay diligent. Make sure you watch the familiar. It's the familiar that swaps baby with you. So the Bible said, told him to what? Cut the baby in half. Literally, just like it was a sandwich. Cut him right in half. Watch this. And the king said, divide the living child. One person get one half, the other get the other half. Then watch this. Then spake the woman who the living child was unto. For her bowels yearn. How many of you know, as a woman, sometimes you just know. You just know. They call it, I believe they call it women's intuition. How many of you know, sometimes the Spirit of God just lets you know. So I don't know what it is, but I know it's something. I don't know what it is about her. I know it's something. I don't know what it is about him, but I know it's something. I don't know what it is about this individual, about this place, about this church, about this situation, about this job, about this thing, but I know it's something. Why? Because in your bowels, the Holy Ghost is speaking to you. We pray for the spirit of discernment upon you all. That you can discern in your body, hey, something's not right. I might not know exactly. The Bible said like this. The Bible said we prophesy in part. We don't know, but we know in part. We know when it ain't right, though. See, there's some things I can look at, like, you know, obviously y'all know I'm a mathematician. I can look at math problems, and I can tell you most of the time, I don't know if that's the exact answer, but I can tell you when I know it's definitely the wrong answer in most cases. Why? Because there's some things that, excuse me, I'm just familiar with from my training and my understanding and my gifting. And say, that might not be it. That might not. I can tell you, I don't know what the answer is, but I can tell you that's not the right one, though. How many know you can do that sometime? Come on, y'all killing me in the chat. Y'all still awake out there? Amen. Or a pastor talking to himself this morning? So, sometimes we got to be aware. Make sure we loosen our bowels. Said her bowels yearned for her son. And she said, oh Lord, give her the living child. Now, Lord, remember, lowercase here. So she's speaking what? To King Solomon. Oh Lord, give her the living child. Mm-hmm. And in no wise slay it. But the other said, let me it be mine, nor thou's, but divide it. Watch this. This is where, as we used to say in the country, this is where the rubber meets the road. Or as my father would say, this is where you set the cream from the crop. Mm-hmm. This is that great separate. This is how you know the believers from the pretenders. Because there's a lot of people out there pretending, oh, I love God, this and this. Wait, the hell hit their house. We find out how much they love him. They go to, you know, they turn to the bottle. They turn to, you know, all different kinds of ways and things to what? To cope. Mm-hmm. Things that just, you know, you're like, how in the world are they doing this? And I'm going to sit and tell you as believers that you haven't thought about those things. But the difference is you don't act upon them. Why? Because you remember and you go inside of yourself and knows that I know that my Savior lives. David said it like this. David said, sometimes you got to encourage yourself. You know, I placed out on social media this week, said, who encourages the encourager? I was feeling a little bit discouraged, you know, some things that was going on in my personal life. And we all find our way in that discouragement sometimes. But it's that inside of that bowel, as a mother knows, you got to know that you 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 know God for yourself. That, you know, that even though I may want to throw in the towel, that he told me to stand with my lions guarded against me. That I need to prepare my feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. That know that, you know, if I made my bed in hell, then he said he would be also. That know that, you know, he's my buckler. He's my fortress. He's my shield. That way he would hide me in the day. That he will provide a way of escape. That no, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor their seed begging for bread. that I will be young and I will get old. But none of these things will come to pass. So watch this. So then the mother said, look, so he said, one lady says this, give the baby, just don't kill it. The other one said, yo, kill it, divide it. Why? Because this person didn't care. See, when people do not have investment, see, some people could care a hoot about the Safe House Church. Why? Because they don't have any investment in this thing. They weren't here when Peter were contemplating and Felicia were contemplating. They said, Lord, what are we going to do? Lord, you got us out here, Lord. Is this really what you want us to do? And we drive into the church, and sometimes there was nobody in there but my wife and I. Oh, come on, somebody. There's sometimes, but, you know, there was, all the offering that was in the church was whatever we was putting into this thing, because we had to get it off the ground. But we was trusting God. Lord, this is our baby, Lord. This is what we believe you've given us. But now to see what God is doing and how God is multiplying this baby, and this baby's starting to grow, and she's starting to get legs on her, and she's starting to get a little arms here, and she's going to start to grow up more and more, and things are starting to come together. I remember, and if somebody told me then what I would do, I had to give it up. I would say, I'd rather you give it up and put another person in there and let them pastor than to be killed. Why? Because I know there's some people in there. There's some people who really believe God. There's some people who really trust God. There's some people there who really want to be here for the right thing, not just to see what we're doing. Not just to see how many people coming. Because see, the Safe House Church, we are people, we believe God. Whether they were 5 of us or 35 of us or 105 of us, this is our foundation. That chief cornerstone that the builder rejected. Why did the builder reject the chief cornerstone? Because he did not realize what he had. See, sometimes God sends us, I know sometimes it seems like we have a church of what I call social misfits. Because your pastor, they say that square peg that they're trying to force into a round hole. I just don't fit. And I had to come to the point and realize, and you got to come to the point and realize, brothers and sisters, that it's okay, because you were not intended to fit. Why? Because we create the mold. Some just embrace the mold. Some just take it, but others create it. And when you are a trailblazer, when God has called you to be the head and not the tail, when he called you to be above and not beneath, when he's called you to be both winner and conqueror, this thing is not easy. They're not going to see you casting them nets on the deep side of the water. Are y'all with me this morning? But what they don't see is that, look, yes, you went to this church for a season. Yeah, God put you in this ministry for a season. But when you are a laborer, come on, mother, what about that labor? That labor is hard. Sister Taylor can tell you it was intense. But I guarantee you right now, even though I know she's a little sore and they're giving her all kinds of things to deal with pain, every time she looks over there, she sees Bryson. Woo! Mothers, how many, every time you looked over there and you saw your baby, you just thought about it. It was worth it all. When I think about it and I see, and I read our list this morning, that we have 11 mothers in our church, when just over a little bit over a year ago, it was only like 2. And we're in the middle of a pandemic. Y'all don't feel this thing like I feel it this morning. But I see God that he's blowing the baby. That baby that somebody wanted to come and get. That baby that somebody was trying to switch their dead baby out. And God is what? He's sending the laborers. What do? The laborers work. And if there's no work to be done, then there are no laborers to be had. I think about our Hispanic brothers and sisters who work so hard in the fields that many of the fruits and things we have because they handpicked them. The machines can't get it all. And you know what? They call them seasonal workers. Why? Because there is a season when it's time to pick the fruit. They don't need them all times of the year. Why? Because sometimes there's nothing there on the tree. But when there's things there on the tree, when there are things growing on the tree, when there's fruit on the tree, the laborers come. So what has God been doing for Safe House? God has been what? He's been preparing us, Safe House. He's been preparing us. That's why you didn't fit, because you fit right here in this season. And I'll be first to say, some of you may walk away too. And I get it. Why? Because you're a laborer. And that's what laborers do. They work. See, sometimes we get it twisted. We want to make a laborer. Oh, come on. We want to make the laborer the owner.
This is a ministry where God births people. And we may never have 300-400 people. And you know what? That's okay. Because when leaders show up, leaders are not in places where there are 300-400 people. That leadership is a really small circle. It's a very small, as we say, a very small sorority or fraternity. It's that small group that we can lick each other. And I ain't got to say a word. And I know you got beat and I got beat too, but we still making it. It's a small circle. When I was going through my things this week, there were a couple of people who could reach out and say, man, I get it. They ain't had to say a word. It was just the fact they even called. I ain't had to say nothing. They got it. Why? Because when you in that circle, you get it. It's called that mother knows. When you a mother, you know the pain that this woman is feeling right here. She's willing to give the baby up so the baby would not die because she know that baby has destiny on his life. So I'd rather a stranger have the baby and the baby live. Woo! I'd rather a stranger have the baby and the baby live. I'd rather somebody else pastor this church and this church live. Then this church died. Why? Because I know I can feel it in my bow. A mother knows. You know when your child about to do something silly most of the time. You can feel it. And just like this church, what the Bible, we call the church what the bride of Christ, the mother. I, as pastor, I can feel when some of y'all about to do something dumb. That's why you get a text from me. You get a text from me. Like, hey, you doing all right? How many, you know what I'm talking about. And you should be grateful that somebody cares that much for you. This is why being a pastor can be tough. Because God be dropping things on you. And there's some things I've seen that God said, you know what? Ain't nothing you can do about it. They're going to have to learn that one on their own. And that's hard. It's just like being a parent. There's things that, as I see my son right now, there's some things I see my daughter right now. I look at it and I want to say something and everything in me say, Peter, don't say nothing. Just watch from afar. Because they got to experience it. And you know what? And if it gets a little rough, that's what I got you here for. Think about the story of Moses. Remember Moses? The Bible said what? That Moses, what? They, you know, they seek Moses' life and they put him into a basket of tar and pitch. And as they put him into that basket, what? That basket was pushed out onto the water. And the Bible says what? His sister Marion was watching the basket from afar. Why was she watching? Because there was gators in that water. There were crocodiles in that Nile. Anything could have happened to him. But this was something he had to go through to save his life. Brothers and sisters, I'm here to tell you today, there's some things that we just have to go through that's going to make us, I don't like it, you don't like it. And it hurts bad. But I'm reminded that weeping, if I can sing it right now, and I can shout it right now, if I can whoop it right now, y'all would get it. But that weeping, I'm not going to cry. Woo! But I'm here to tell y'all that you know. A mother knows. You know. So sometimes you just got to sit back and you got to watch that thing from afar. You got to watch that thing come together from afar. And you know what they're about to go through. But you also know if they make it out of this. Woo! You also know if they make it out of this. If they can just put it together. If they can just hang on in there. And see, that's the thing as a parent. You know they got to go through it. You don't want to see them, but you know they got to endure it. And you sitting up there and I find myself on the sideline rooting for my kids because I see them when they got to play in the neighborhood and they got to get along with other kids. And I'm like, don't do that. You know, I hold up. Don't say that. But I know we got some of those parents who don't let their kids do that. Oh, they go in there. Don't do that. Come over here. Blah, blah, blah. And then you wonder why your kids are so dysfunctional when they become adults. You didn't give them time to fail under your jurisdiction. So that's one of the interesting things about God. I know I'm starting to way over my time. I said I won't go long, but y'all forgive me. Pastor didn't mean to say that. I meant to do it, but I didn't mean to go this long. But when the Spirit take over, you know, this is online. You can go in and out as you see fit. But for those who want to remain, I'm going to keep giving it to you. And sometimes, some parents, they got to the point that they just you know, they do everything for their child, and their child never has a chance to experience life. And I see these kids a lot. You know, these are the kids who come to college. They have 4.0s and all this kind of stuff, and they end up coming back home pregnant because they made a lot of poor decisions. Or they fail out, or they end up being drunk. So some of them end up, heaven forbid, getting killed, you know, overdoing drugs and find themselves in bad places. Why? Because they never had the opportunity to mess up under their parents' roof. Mm-hmm. See, I think about when I came through and my folks, I'm a pew baby. I grew up in church. My grandfather was the bishop. My mother was his daughter. I was in church my entire life. And I'm here to tell you, pastor did some dumb stuff. And every now and then he does something still dumb. We all are subject to that. But one thing that happened, I remember, and as an adult, my father and I used to talk about it. He, you know, I was talking about, oh, you know, in high school I did this, or we hear, like, when we get together as brothers and sisters, you know, around Mother's Day and these kind of holidays, we start talking about this kind of stuff. And when we start talking about this kind of stuff, some of these things my parents actually knew, and they said nothing about it. It was like, if you knew this, why didn't you say something? Well, what they were doing was they were watching from afar. It was like, they got to experience it, but not to the point I'm going to let it kill them. And this is what God does. What you're going through right now, brothers and sisters, it's not going to kill you. Whew, I'm preaching to myself. It's not going to kill you, but it's here to make you strong. It's going to take you to the brink that you're going to think you're going to lose your everlasting mind. It's going to take you to the brink where you're ready just to throw it in and give it all up and cuss everybody out and just shoot the place up and go on everywhere. I get it. But I'm here to tell you, if you can survive this, there's a song that says, after this, if you can survive, if you can make it through this, if you can hold on through this, the Bible also says that this way you won't come again. You've passed the test. And what we find here as I conclude this morning, that in the last verse here in First Kings 3:28, he says this. He says, all of Israel, 27, he says this. Then the king answered and said, he's about to provide judgment. He says, give her the living child. And in no wise slay it, she is the mother there of it. Only a mother will be willing to give up the baby so they can live. The other lady didn't care about the baby. She didn't bounce that baby. She didn't birth that baby. She didn't give suck to that baby. She didn't, you know, go to 9 months of what you had to go through. She didn't go through the morning sickness. She didn't go through the headaches. She didn't go through the multiple doctor visits. She didn't go through the ultrasound. She didn't go through the genetic testing. And they tell you that, oh, it's a possibility your baby going to be this way. So you endure the next 7 to 8 months thinking, Lord, is my baby going to be like this? Is my baby going to be like this? Is my baby going to be like this? And now you're worrying yourself to death. She did not endure that. And she could care less. But for those of us who haven't done that, for those of us who've gone through that birthing process, for those of us who felt that agony, for those of us who've gone through that, you know it. And therefore, you know that you'd rather see what you have brought here, make it with somebody else, than it not make it at all. And the king in all his wisdom knew right away that baby belonged to her, because only a true mother knows that. Only a true mother feels that pain. Only a true mother would make that kind of decision, because they understand that it's not about me, but it's about the next generation. And if I can't take care of my baby, if I can't nurture on my baby, I'd rather him or her live. I'd rather this dream live. I'd rather the safe house live. If I cannot take the safe house to the next level, I'd rather God send another pastor behind me and it make it. Because I know that's the safe house. There's somebody later on that's going to need the safe house church. There's somebody somewhere else who's going to need this anointing. There's someone somewhere else who's going to need these brothers and sisters and you all. Somebody's going to need what you've been through. And I'm going to use this as an example, and I hope she doesn't mind, and I don't think she would. I think about my wife and I, about, what, 3, 4, 5 years now, a couple dear to us, brother and sister Jordan, went through a traumatic situation with their child. The baby was born premature, and he's still here with us. He's great. We love Brother Sean. He's a blessing. You know, and I even, and I say this a little later, and they went through some stuff, y'all. And it was tough. Oh my God, I know it was tough. It was tough for us as friends to watch them going through what they're going through. And at the same time, right around the same time, my wife was carrying baby. And our baby had gotten here. And far as we know, everything, I think that baby was first. And they, so I think he's a little bit older. So he was here. And at the same time, now we're watching them go through what they're going through. And we can't help but think sometimes, like, Lord, we have to endure this and go through, and go through what they're going through. And what you find, brothers and sisters, God allow you to go through some things because what? Number one, it changes you. It's how he prunes us. It's how he gives us his grace and his mercy because he knows what you're dealing with, so he knows what measure to extend to you. So maybe he only extends Peter this much because Peter only dealing with this much, but maybe he extends you this much because you are dealing with that much. This is why you cannot be measuring your walk against somebody else's walk. Paul says it like this, walk your walk. Said my race, their race is individual. So we saw them endure this and we saw them going through all these things. And God is what delivered them and brought the son home, and he's doing great and he's doing well. And I recall hearing Minister Haywood, her father, say how much this has changed him. See, God has a way of just taking things that we don't see. And sometimes we don't like the way that he does it, but it makes us for the better. So I like to believe now, and I don't know for sure, but their family is a lot closer. They pray a little differently now. They see things a little differently. They look at other people's situations a little different because I know what part I sat on that side of the table now, and I know what it feels like to sit on that side of the table not knowing that if it's going to be life or death or where this is going to take us. And then I'm reminded just on this year, oh, come on, somebody. She didn't know at the time. We didn't know at the time, but just this year, right here in our own church, Brother Fulton, Sister Fulton, have a premature baby. I'm telling you, a mother knows. And they're going through a situation, and it's like, what about our son? Lord, we blessed you. We paid our tithes and offering. We've done everything you said do, Lord. We got married. We waited our time. And now here, Lord, there's some problems going on. We don't abuse drugs. We don't abuse alcohol. We took care of ourselves. And now something's going on that's beyond our control. Why me? And then we looked. And the Bible says, well, everything we have need of is right there in the house. And then I was reminded, Sister Jordan and them went through, Brother Jordan just went through this a couple years ago. And I told them, as they reached out to me, I'm not saying I'm Solomon, not by far, but I looked at this and I was like, I can pray, but I don't know that pain. I don't know that walk. It's not my walk. And you know what? I'm okay with not knowing because there's some things I do know that I have to hold for somebody else. We all got our peace. But they didn't know that walk. So I dare not be able to try to tell somebody something that I've never lived, something I've never been through. I don't know that agony. I don't know that prayer on that level. Yes, I can pray, but that's something different when you've experienced something and you've been able to talk to somebody else about it. When you've experienced it and you know it for yourself, it's just different. It feels different. How many of you have talked to somebody, and I know I got to quit. How many of you have talked to somebody that you can tell when they have not experienced what they're telling you about? They'll be telling you, oh, child, this, this, and this. And you're sitting there thinking, they never did this. Now, I don't mean they're a bad person. They mean well. They never done this, though. I have. Yeah, I see them in the chat. So I didn't live that. But I knew Brother and Sister Jordan had been through some similar things. So what we did is what? And I called Sister Jordan and talked to him and said, look, if the Lord leads you, but this is what I'm feeling. I don't know this. I don't have the anointing for this. I have the anointing of the shepherd. I can pray. I can pray the prayer of faith and we can believe God just like we did for you all. However, that specific thing that a mother knows, I didn't birth that. So I can't tell you about that. But I do believe. My faith touching with you all's faith that you all can speak to that. And prayed about it. And, you know, and at some point, you know, they reached out and they were able to get connected. And, you know, now, you know, I got some texts and stuff back from Sister Fulton and said, Pastor, I just really appreciate you for connecting us with them. Because they've been a blessing. There's some things that we've gone through, Lord, they were able to tell us about. They were able to be truthful about. They were able to share their experience. See, but I don't want to know your business. Nobody wants to know your business. But God takes you through things so that you can be a blessing to somebody else. And in return, there's things that you go through that God will let you be a them be a blessing to you. Do you see what I'm saying? This is why what? I am my brother's keeper. Yes, I am. So it ain't that you just want to put your business out there. But when the opportunity presents itself, the Bible said, well, we are overcome by what? The power of our testimony. And I believe the Jordans were able to speak to the Fultons, and the Fultons are in a much better place now because the Jordans went through what they went through. Are you hearing what I'm saying? There's some things that they can make sure they get for their son because the Jordans went, they have already experienced it. And they're not selfish. That, hey, I want to see you do well. You my brother, my sister. I've been through this. So if you would listen, now sometimes people don't listen. You can't force yourself on folk. But if you would listen, I'm going to tell you some things. Mm-hmm. I'm going to tell you some of the things that we experience. I'm going to tell you some of the things that they're going to say. I'm going to tell you how they're going to try to scare you. I'm going to tell you how they say that you can't get this and you can't get that. And I'm going to tell you, you know, all these things that what God has opened up for us as a family that I know he can open up for you and help your son go forward too. Oh, come on, somebody. And this is what it's about. A mother knows. If you've been in it, you know it. If you experienced it, you know it. And because you know it, you know that you don't want anybody else to have to go through it unless they have to. A mother knows. And on this Mother's Day, as I close, I want you to know that a mother knows. And God knows you. He sees you and he sees you and he knows exactly where you are. Thank you all for belaboring the point with me on this morning. It was in me. And you know, I don't try to be this long. Amen. But, you know, when God is flowing and it's going. Amen. God bless you all. I love you all. A happy, happy, again, Mother's Day to all the mothers of the Safe House Church, all the mothers who connected to this ministry. The doors of this church is open. Amen. The doors of this church is open. You know, they're never closed. I don't own this church. Amen. But this is God's church. This is God's church. And he does whatever it is that he wants to do. And we want to say right now that the doors of this church is open. If you desire to be a member or you desire to be a fellowship with us, I ask that you put something in the text, amen, or you reach out to us and let us know, and we will connect you, amen, for God is good, and he's worthy to be praised, and we're just so grateful to him and all the many things that he has done for us. Again, I want to say a happy Mother's Day to each and every one of you as we move towards the offering part of our service, amen. We're still looking at the possibilities of going back to our physical space. But I'm still praying with God, and he has not released me on that yet. Amen. I know some say they're ready to go. We should be doing this, and we should be doing that. And I get that. And if you believe that God has called you to do that, and that's what you want to do, we don't hold anybody. Make your own decisions. Amen. But, you know, for me and my house, this is where we are. And so I believe God has released us because right now there's a second wave coming through. And I want God's people to be safe. Amen. 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 God bless you all. I love you all. Thank you for those messages there in the chat. If God's laid it on your heart, and we're in the part, we were offering part of our service. Here at the Safe House Ministry, we are a 501(c)(3) ministry. All gifts are tax deductible. We believe in paying tithes and offering. If God has blessed you and it's your time or you desire to do so, you can send tithe and offer to the Safe House Church. That's $SafeHouseChurchGSO on the Cash App. Again, Cash App. That's $SafeHouseChurchGSO. Or on PayPal, paypal.me/ministry. Again, that's paypal.me/ministry. Or if you of you old school, and we take those too, amen, make checks or money orders payable to Finding Fish Ministry. That's our parent organization, Finding Fish Ministries, P.O. Box 862, Summerfield, North Carolina, 27358. Again, that is P.O. Box 862, Summerfield, North Carolina, 27358. Amen, amen. And God bless you all.
on this morning. We've had a tremendous day. Mothers of the Safe House Church, please make sure that you send me your email information so that I can get you your $25 Amazon gift card, courtesy of the Brothers of the Safe House Church. Amen. And I'm just so grateful to what God has been doing here with us. And he could have did it anywhere else, but he decided to do it here. Also, I want to remind you, ladies of the Safe House Church, you have your Women at the Well on Monday nights. I know this has just been an extraordinary space. I'm looking forward to y'all doing a retreat or something soon, y'all. To let me know. Let's get it. All right. So, why? Because I believe, you know, we can't be in the church like we are right now, but I do believe that it's important that you all, you know, we're getting together virtually, that you also be able to get the opportunity to get together physically and just love on each other. Amen. You know, women need their space. Amen. And I'm grateful that, you know, I have more women than I do men. Amen. But I believe the men are coming. But I find it also interesting that we just have a family full, a church full of just married folk. Amen. That's a blessing. You know, I mean, people don't have that. And God just blessed us with our age range. And I mean, just tremendously educated. Oh my goodness. That's why I tell people, I said, I can't be in there shooting the breeze. You know, as I talked to some other preacher friend, I said, well, you can come to my church and shoot the breeze, because we got folk who will Google you. We got folk who go in there who read and say, Pastor, I don't know if that was quite right, but he said, amen. And I'm grateful. Why? Because we teach you, you know, you have to be accountable in the space. So, you know, we love you to come and bless us. But, hey, don't come in here bringing no mess, because these folks will call you out. They're scholars. Amen. And I'm just grateful. I'm just grateful, 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 grateful. God bless you all. I love you all. Again, a big shout out to all my mothers all across the Safe House Church and all across the nation. God bless you all. We love you all. I'm going to pray. I'm going to get out of here. I ask that you all pray for me. Pastor, got to do a bit of traveling again this week. Y'all know I stay in the road. Amen. Got Elizabeth City tomorrow. We're going to got some business. You know, I've been going down there, but, you know, all the things that's going on down in Elizabeth City, we pushed it back. So, and it's still going, but we're going to go in there. My intention is to get down there early in the morning, do what I got to do, turn around and get back. So I know that's a long drive, about 8 hours. But if I feel up to it, we'll get in the car and come back. If not, I get me a room, and I'll make it back when I make it back. Amen. Then we got another thing on Friday. So, but you all just continue to pray for me. Remember, Monday through Friday, we still have our prayer at 6 a.m. To 6:30 a.m. every single Monday through Friday, every single day, Monday through Friday. Amen. We're there on the Zoom doing a prayer. So that same Zoom link that you see, those of you see it on Facebook, that is also our prayer link through the week. All right, so I think all hearts and minds are clear. There's nothing else. I want to pray for you all, and then we're going to get out of here. Oh, Lord, and the Father, Lord, as we come to you this morning, Lord, we just want to say thank you. Lord, we thank you for this tremendous word that you sent on this Mother's Day, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for those who are celebrating, Lord Jesus, many years of Mother's Day, Lord, and all the way down to those who are celebrating their very first. Lord, we're grateful, Lord Jesus. Lord, I see you watching. You keep our mothers, oh God. Let them feel the love, Lord Jesus, and the admiration from them all day long. Lord, you're not just on this day, but 365 days and 366 on the leap year. Lord, I see you continue to strengthen and keep them, oh God. Let them know, Lord Jesus, that we need them, Lord Jesus. We appreciate them, oh God. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for those, Lord Jesus, that are submissive, Lord Jesus, to their husbands, oh God. Not that they're their slaves, oh God, but they understand, Lord Jesus, leadership, Lord. They understand their rightful place, oh God, as they work, Lord Jesus, Lord, not over us, oh God, but with us, Lord. And we thank you for that right now in the name of Jesus, Lord. We thank you for the children that you bless of these unions, oh God, Lord. And we ask you to continue to strengthen and keep each and every one of them. Lord, bless them, Lord, like only you can. Lord, I ask that you, Lord, you pray about areas, oh God, for there's still more shootings and things going on. Lord, I ask for discernment, oh God, Lord. Let us know where we should go and where we shouldn't go, what we got to do and what we don't have to do, oh God. And we thank you for that wisdom right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, I ask that you touch the city of Elizabeth City, oh God. Lord, for even on yesterday, oh God, Lord, you let a praise break out, Lord, you at graduation. Oh God, that's unheard of, Lord. But we believe, Lord Jesus, that, Lord, you're shifting and you're changing some things, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, for that, Lord. And we love you. And we give your name the honor and the praise. Lord, I ask that you watch them and keep each and every person here, Lord. You help them go forth, Lord. Let them go out and reach out, Lord. And let our section, Lord, and let this church continue to grow, Lord Jesus, as we go forward, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, and we love you. And we praise your name. And we ask you to do all these things to others in the powerful name of Jesus. For we know this one thing, and we know this to be true, that we walk by faith and not by sight. God bless you all. Love you all. And you all heard me right. You get a chance, all of you all on social media, at Elizabeth City State University, and what we've been praying for, a praise break. I kid you all, our old school Kojic type praise break broke out at graduation, and they were straight up in there shouting, giving God the praise, to the point that God had the leader, the chancellor, gets up and says, y'all know we normally don't do this kind of thing, but we got to give God the glory. Y'all tell me God ain't doing something? He's doing something, y'all. God got leaders hidden in places that you don't even know about. And it's time for you all to step up, because you all are those leaders also. God bless you all. I love you all. You all take care. And I see you all on tomorrow morning for many of you, and others on Wednesday night. Take care. Love you all. Have a great one. Bye-bye.
Church, GSO.com. Then I just want to say again, good morning to all the St. Paul Stress Don't Do a Business. No matter where you're from, I'm just so grateful that you could be anywhere else, but you decided to be here with us this morning. And for that, we
yep.